This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, May 19th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We've talked on this show before about augmented reality, or AR, which displays computer-generated images overlaid on our view of the real world. It has possible uses in gaming, in the metaverse, and for work. But how far from widespread adoption is it? This week at the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything Festival, we heard from senior executives at Magic Leap, a company pushing to make AR a reality in our everyday work lives. We'll hear about what's next from Magic Leap after these headlines. Telehealth startup Cerebral is replacing its CEO, Kyle Robertson, as it faces mounting questions and a federal probe over how it prescribed powerful stimulants to ADHD patients. Robertson called the move illegal and accused board members of making him a scapegoat for the company's troubles. A spokesman for Cerebral didn't respond to a request for comment. TikTok is being sued by a mother who alleges her 10-year-old daughter died after attempting to do a challenge she saw on the app. The lawsuit filed last week claims TikTok knew about the so-called blackout challenge that encourages people to choke themselves until they pass out, and that the company didn't stop it from spreading. A TikTok spokeswoman said the blackout challenge wasn't a trend on the app and that the company remains committed to user safety. Netflix is cutting around 150 employees, or 2% of its workforce, in a new round of layoffs. The streaming company is grappling with slowing revenue growth, a shrinking subscriber base, and a plummeting stock price. A spokeswoman for Netflix said most of the layoffs are in the U.S. and based primarily on business needs, rather than individual performance. The world's largest video game developer, Tencent, has posted its worst-ever quarterly drop in profit and slowest revenue growth in nearly two decades. The Chinese tech giant says first-quarter revenue rose by just 0.1% from a year earlier. Net profit fell 51%. Tencent said it was affected by government regulations put in place last year to reduce the amount of time Chinese youth play video games. Speaking of video games, Saudi Arabia's public investment fund is taking a 5% stake in Nintendo. It's the latest video game investment for the fund. Filings show it also holds shares of Electronic Arts and Take-Two Interactive. And earlier this year, it disclosed a stake in Capcom, the maker of Street Fighter. The Saudi crown prince has instructed the fund to help diversify the country's economy away from its dependence on oil revenue. And Congress held the first hearing on UFOs in more than 50 years this week. A National Security Subcommittee viewed videos of unexplained incidents appearing to show objects in the sky with unusual flight patterns. Defense officials testified that unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAPs, the government term for UFOs, could pose a risk to national security. Our reporter Joseph D'Avila says the government is less afraid that UAPs are from outer space than that they come from another country.
The government is concerned about, you know, whether adversaries of the U.S. have developed some sort of breakthrough aerospace technology that the U.S. doesn't have. And they haven't found conclusive evidence that this is the case, but this is something that they're highly concerned about, and this is a reason why it's of pretty high importance in terms of national security to try to figure out what exactly these things are.
All right, coming up, you might think of the metaverse as separate from the real world, but could it actually be built on the world around us? We'll hear from one company that is pushing to make that happen. After the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
When you think about augmented reality, you probably think about video games and entertainment. Well, so did Magic Leap, a company that produces AR goggles. It raised billions of dollars from investors off the idea of selling its goggles to consumers. But when that didn't work out, it pivoted. 2 years ago, it hired a new CEO and started thinking about its headsets as a tool for business. Now, the pandemic and the increase in hybrid work is offering new opportunities, and so is the development of the metaverse. So where does Magic Leap see AR tech going next? At the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything Festival, our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern spoke with Magic Leap's CEO Peggy Johnson and CTO Julie Larson Green. Here are highlights from their conversation.
Peggy, Julie, thank you so much for being here. What are you guys thinking about the metaverse? What does the metaverse look like?
So our device is, you know, a head-mounted display that is kind of a window into the metaverse. And I do think, like a lot of times in the tech industry for the last, you know, couple of decades, things get a little overhyped, and there's been a lot of that. But we're very much grounded in reality. And we actually think the true promise of the metaverse will come out with augmented reality. Because augmented reality, the device that we build, allows you to see your physical world around you, and then we intelligently put digital content that you can interact with.
Yeah, I would argue we're already living in the metaverse, but it's just through your like iPhone or your computer, and augmented reality gives you the opportunity to keep your head up and interact with the world around you and still get those digital cues and information from the world without having to put your head down.
And so Magic Leap 2, what did you decide to do here hardware-wise? What did you decide to do here strategy-wise to really think about how this is going to play into the current world today of augmented reality?
So I'll start from a business perspective, and then you could fill in from a tech perspective. But we listened very, very carefully to what people were saying about Magic Leap 1. But, you know, for all day wear, the market we were actually pointed at, frontline workers, they needed to be able to be on their head for 8, 9, 10 hours a day. It needed to be smaller, it needed to be lighter, it needed to be faster. We were doing more and more compute on the device. And we achieved all of that in Magic Leap 2. And you could probably go into some of the more the characteristics around the optics, which are cool.
Well, yes, faster, lighter, smaller than before, much bigger field of view, so you really feel immersed, not looking through a porthole in the screen, but you can see a 6-foot man from 6 feet away. And it's very wearable, you can wear it all day, very built for work, really built for getting work done. So it's a, you know, kind of a tough road to hoe to have consumers want to wear glasses, like none of us are wearing our glasses, even though I think we all need glasses.
I certainly need glasses, contacts, but yeah.
But if you think about it as a tool for work and the capabilities that it can bring you for work, that's where we've been focused on. So some of the things that we've done, we've invented this segmented dimmer. So one of the challenges with augmented reality, if you use it in a bright room, it's very hard to see the digital content. So you can segment the contents of the objects are brightened in the room because there's a black mask behind them that helps them show up.
And when you guys say work, I mean, one of the things that I've loved about talking to Magic Leap about is it's out there right now, right? What are some of the ways it is being used at work?
So even Magic Leap 1 is being used in an enterprise fashion. We've got companies, we have a very interesting company called Brain Lab that had been building 3D images of brains, but they were viewing them on 2D surfaces. And with Magic Leap 1, it came alive. They could put the brain in the middle of the room. You could do pre-surgical planning. You could path the surgical pathways that you'll take in surgery. And it can be a training tool, an education tool.
And so this is enterprise, and you've taken a step back from consumers. But it seems like one day you think consumers, we're all going to wear these. Julie, any thoughts where you thought, you know, I want to wear these for this thing I do in my life?
For the consumer world, I think it, you know, will take a while before you're going to wear it every day. I think you might wear it for particular tasks. You could have, you know, call a friend to help you do some home repairs or to cook something. Or what I really want is the digital shopping experience. So as I walk around and I see something I like, I can just buy that. It's you know, there for me. So I think there's going to be lots of uses. There's lots of creativity out there on like what it won't be things that I think people talk a lot about. It's going to replace the PC or replace the phone. I don't think that's a goal. I think new scenarios and new things that you can do. Some of it will take time away from using a PC or a phone, but it's not necessarily going to be a replacement.
As you think about the future, and I've grilled both of you on this, and well, known you both for many years, and you know that I'm always very focused on where's the future going with this hardware? How's it getting better? You know, I look at this and I can see so much potential, but right now it's clunky. You've got to wear this PC on your side, which is actually, as you've said to me before, Peggy, a better thing because it's not on your ears and it's not like crushing my head like a football helmet. How long till we get, and how do we get to what I think everyone in this audience is envisioning in the future, these sleek glasses or Ray-Bans or regular glasses that we can see digital projection through?
That'll come with silicon integration, much like the mobile phone. You know, they were this big at one point, and then, you know, now they're tiny, and it's going to be that same trajectory. But right now, to put the heat and the weight on your head just isn't viable. You know, a surgeon needs to wear it for a long operation. A frontline worker in a factory needs to wear it all day. We need to do what the technology can do in its current state, and over time, we'll come down that curve, and we'll get it into glasses format.
Battery is another one. Battery technology needs to improve so you can, you know, have a smaller form factor on your head without having it tethered. You know, probably one of the first things is to make this wireless, so you can just sit it on a counter. So there's a progression that will get it easier and easier over time, and it won't be that long, actually.
Okay, so we'll see you here next year, Future of Everything 2023. We'll see you guys then. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. The Future of Everything Festival continues through today. For a free online pass, go to wsj.com/futurefestival and click Join Us Live. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.